So I had one of the really cool things about being a teacher is when your class participants will tell you, I don't get it. And so, thanks to Phil, I rethought some things. And I think today I'm going to do a little lesson on position and condition. And I think it's critical in understanding the Romans 6, 1 through 10 that we're trying to go through now. The principle of position and condition.
Yeah.
Understand what it is. Positional truth and conditional truth. Okay? So, in every class I teach, I always have a 2 minutes on what a principle is. What's a principle?
Way
something works off. But you're an engineer, you know all kinds of principles, and they always work that way. Right? I'm not so sure with these other engineers, but I know it's true with you. It works the same way every time. So that's in the physical world, in the scientific world. It's also true in the spiritual world, that there are spiritual principles that work the same way every time. Now, one of the principles that works the same way every time is position. So let's define what a position is or a positional truth. What is it?
Position is when we are in the heavenly, mm-hmm. in Christ, and we're supposed to focus on that rather than how I
focus. That's pretty good. In the physical realm, it'd be like this. I'm going to position this right here. It's there. Unless I move it, it isn't going anywhere. So the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit, when I believed in the person and work of Christ, He positioned me in Christ permanently. Now, can I change out any of that?
No.
You can't change it. That's the most important thing. And the reason you can't change it is because it's a principle. It functions the same way every time. Okay? Now, if you had to come up with a synonym for the word principle, what would the word be? Another word that would describe what a position is.
Fact.
Fact is good. Here's the word I have, source. A point of origin or procurement, beginning where it originates, the point of origin. So my position is a point of origin. It's a point in which the principle, I put that disc over there. It's there until I move it. So the Holy Spirit takes me and positions me in Christ, and I'm there until He moves me. Guess what? He's not going to move me. Okay? So our position is the source of our Christian life. The position we have in Christ is the source of our Christian life. It's perfect. It's already been established in the Father's presence. Everything about your position is already established and is perfectly acceptable to the Father. Okay? And where was it established? What event caused it to be permanently established?
His death.
Yeah, here, the cross. Yeah. That did it. So the cross, you can look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, Ephesians 2:6 and 10, and it cannot be changed. My position cannot be changed. You can never change the position, nor can you ever be taken out of Christ. And you know why you can't be taken out of Christ? Because He didn't put yourself there in the first place. Somebody else did it. It was the Holy Spirit. So, some of the elements of your position are, it's based on grace. It's based on grace, which means you can't earn it. You can't enhance it. You can't go to God and say, I need more position. It's the source of my Christian life. It's based on facts and not promises. I want you to get that straight. It's based on facts that are already true. It's not based on promises. Yeah.
Could you use the term reality there?
I would use the word spiritual reality. It is reality. It is reality for every believer.
Yeah. Okay, I'm already lost.
Okay.
And I'm determined I'm going
to
get.
No, I want you to got to speak up because this is really important right now.
Okay. Just start all over again. No. It can never be changed.
No.
I mean, I am in the heavenlies. Is that my position?
You're in Christ, and who is in the
in
heavenlies?
In Christ.
Who is in the heavenlies?
In the heavenlies.
Right.
And that is my position.
Correct.
And that can never be changed.
Never.
Okay. And then the source of the Christian life is?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
So what does the source have to do with when we're talking about position?
Okay, oh, good question. If I don't know, if I don't have information about the source, then I don't know much about my position. Source being this: who Christ is, what he did, where he is now. What does he have now? As a human being, he's a God-man. He's seated in the heavenlies, sitting on the throne room of the Father, as a man, totally glorified. The study of the Word of God, especially in Paul's epistles, elaborates on that, where he is and who he is and what's going on with him. And what Paul does is he links us to him so that whatever is true of him is also true of me. His position in heaven, in the heavenlies, is what my position is. I'm so united to him that, again, whatever is true of him is true of me. Okay? Now, if I don't know any of those elements of who he is, I can't have the substance I need to rest my faith in. See? And so when like we're studying here, and Romans 6, 1 through 10 is totally position. There's no verse in the first 10 verses of Romans 6 that's conditional, and we haven't gotten to condition yet. But it's totally positional.
Okay.
The first 10 verses, totally position. The source is right. The location is right. What God has done and set it in place is right now. As we said, it was established in the Father's presence at the cross. You could ask it this way: how does God see me? If I could look behind God the Father's eyes and have look how he looks at me, what would he see?
In Christ.
He would only see me in Christ. Only place he would see me. That's how permanent this is. My position. Now, it can't...
Now, that, I'm sorry, that's the Father.
That's the Father.
The Father only sees us...
In Christ.
In Christ.
Yeah. Christ only sees us in Christ. The Holy Spirit only sees us in Christ. Okay? And we'll get to condition in a minute, but I'm trying to establish what the position is, okay? It cannot ever be changed. The word is immutable. You can't change it. No matter what you do in your activities while you're on the earth, you cannot change your position. I don't care how you think. I don't care what decisions you make. I don't care how much sinning you do. You can never change your position. Never. What Romans 6, 1 through 10 tells us, teaches us, is how did God do it? What were the mechanics of how he got me out of Adam where I was positioned before, and he placed me in Christ where I am now positioned. How did he do it? What were the elements of pulling that off? That's what Romans 6, 1 through 10 is. Okay? Position is also the object of my faith. What I believe as a Christian is in the position that I enjoy in Christ. If any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creation. Do I believe that? Sure I do. That's my position. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. New in kind and quality. My experience may not verify that verse, but that's my position and that's where my faith needs to be. Okay? My position is really a person. My position is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So the more I know Christ, the more I learn of Him, I'm also learning what my position is. Because what's true of Him is also true of me. Okay? And the last element is it's exactly the same for every believer. From the Apostle Paul to the weakest somebody who came to Christ 2 minutes ago. The position is exactly the same. So that's the position. Now the other side of that coin is condition. Now the brethren used to use the term standing for position, and they use the word state for condition. I like the word condition better. So how would you define condition? I'll give you my definition. It is what we are in our condition, our Christian walk. What's going on every day in which we develop from spiritual infancy to maturity. It's variable. Here's some of the aspects of it. It has experiential aspects. It is the experiential aspects of the Christian life. Okay? My experience. What did I experience? You know, I got in the car yesterday. I drove up to Northern Colorado. I went with my son and my wife, and we looked at, I don't know, 10 houses, 10 properties. That hopefully John can rent one. We had a five-hour experience. We had lunch. We talked to people. We interacted with people. We formed opinions. We talked about them. That's my condition. Okay? The thing about my condition is it varies. But as a Christian, what my condition does depends totally on what my position is. How my condition functions and operates on a moment-by-moment basis really depends on what my condition, my position is, and not what my experience is. As an example, we're out looking at houses yesterday. We found three that would really work for him. So I said, you know, right away I start thinking in my mind, I gotta juice this thing a little bit so that we'll make sure we get it, you know. So I look up in the county records who owns it. Doesn't matter to me that it's under property management. I'm gonna call the guy who owns it. Not supposed to do that. My position is that the Lord's in charge of where John's gonna live, and I need to trust him. You know, I don't need to juice the deal. I need to trust him. So, my condition changes, it's variable, and it can change in a second. Okay? My emotions change in a second. My thought process changes in a second. I can have an opinion about something, and you can talk to me, and in 30 seconds, I totally change my opinion. That's a condition. None of that happens in your position. There is no changing of your position. Okay? I may be ignorant of my position, but when I learn it, it doesn't change. I may expand on it, but it won't change. My condition changes all the time. I could be a Democrat and then wake up one day and become a Republican.
Or vice versa.
Or I could be a Republican and wake up one day and leave the country. No. My condition, our condition is not the same for every believer. It's different for every one of us. My position is totally the same. My condition is different. My experience is different than Wanda's, and Wanda's experience is different than Abby, and Abby's is different than Nick. Totally different. Okay?
Well, I thought that condition was just what happened here on our...
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly... And it changes. I mean, did you have a better week this week than you had last week?
Definitely.
Okay. Positionally, did you have a better week this week than you had last week?
Oh, no.
No, it's the same. Okay, that makes sense. And better means what? It shows you that, do I live by my condition, or do I live by my position? The growing believer goes from infancy, which is living by the circumstances moving me around, to as I mature and I begin to rest in what I know my position to be. Okay? That's what God's up to. Principle. Okay? Last part, God's promise is that He will work the facts of our position into our condition. That's what He promises us. Romans 8:28 is that God works all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Am I called according to His purpose? Are you called according to His purpose? Answer, yes. So He's going to work 67.5% of all things to accomplish His purpose. No, He says all things. And what is His purpose? His purpose is that whom He foreknew, He foreordained. He determined beforehand that each one of us should be conformed to the image of His Son. My condition will conform me to my position. Do you see that? So now
say that again. My
condition, through the work of the Holy Spirit, will conform me to the position I already enjoy. Okay? Now, the reason that we study Romans 6, why it's so important, is it lays out some positional principles. Was my old man really crucified? The Word of God says if it was. I don't feel it. I don't experience it. Boy, yesterday, sure didn't know what that was all about. Is it true? It's true because the Word of God says it's true. What do I do with that truth? I believe Him. I take Him at His Word, and I recognize that when I do that, the Spirit of God engages Himself to carry out in my condition exactly what I know my position is to be. Okay? Now, one last thing. The best verse I know of in the Bible that talks about how this process works is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now listen to how this goes. Beholding as in a mirror. Beholding is a wonderful word. It's more than just scanning or reading. It's really engaged. Beholding as in a mirror with unveiled face. Don't have any impediments. What's the mirror? It's the Word. Beholding as in a mirror with unveiled face the glory of Christ. So when I read the Bible, what am I looking for? I'm looking to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus. Now there's a principle. There's a principle. I'm not in there to get the facts straight, to answer all the questions right. I'm not in there looking for stuff that I can put into a sermon. That's not what I'm there for. I'm there specifically to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. And the story I tell about this, I've probably told you 100 times. When I was a kid, me and my 3 brothers and my 3 sisters, my folks would ship us all off to the movies on Sunday afternoon. We'd go see a Roy Rogers movie, right? And the good guys all wore white hats, and the bad guys all wore black hats. And when the black bad guy was sneaking up on a good guy, my brother would yell out in the theater, "Look out!" He was beholding. You get what he's doing? He's beholding. He put himself into that movie. That's what beholding means. So I'm reading the Word of God, and I'm looking at the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm there. It's who I am. Beholding as in a mirror with unveiled face the glory of the Lord, what happens? It changes me. It conforms me from one state of glory to the next state of glory to the next state of glory to the next state of glory. And who does it? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what He's doing in my life. That's what He's doing in your life. Every single minute of every day. That's what He's up to. So there's another principle. Well, now, what have I learned? I've learned I have a position. I need to find out as much as I can about that position. And then I find out there is a person in the Godhead who's conforming me to the position that I'm finding out about. That's pretty cool. That's how grace works. Okay? So as we go through Romans 6 now, keep in mind, we're talking position, and we're talking the mechanics about how God took me out of Adam, disconnected me, took me positionally out of Adam, and He placed me in Christ. This is how He did it. He just didn't say, "Okay, Donna, you're not in Adam anymore, you're now in Christ." No, there's a whole process He went through vis-a-vis the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Any questions? Yeah.
I thought that we'd always talked about condition as being either you're either in or out of fellowship.
That you can talk about that way.
Or like, you can't be out of position, but you can
never.
You can be fouled.
Yeah, we're talking about on Tuesday we're doing 1 John. Mm-hmm. We're talking about that we have fellowship one with another. You know, if we're walking in the light. Walking in the light is beholding Christ, and your faith is on your position. As soon as you reach out and take something that isn't in the light, that isn't your position, what happens? The light goes out. And we just did 1 John 1:9. How do you get restored into the light? You confess your sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and, you know, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, put you back in the light. See? So your condition interrupts your walk in your position, and God has made provision for you to get back into the light so that you can see and rest and grow in your position. Yeah. Yeah.
But as we walk through life in our condition, we aren't always out of fellowship in our condition.
Right? No, we're not.
Right. That's what it's...
Yeah, because we can walk in the Spirit. We can walk by faith. Mm-hmm. We can walk in the light. Absolutely. And the verse in Galatians that says the Spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. The old man is fighting who? My Spirit? No, it's the Holy Spirit. They're contrary one to another so that I can't do the things I want to do. What do I want to do? I want to walk in the Spirit all the time. I want to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these two entities, the Holy Spirit Himself and my sin nature, at war with one another. Both of them desire to express their life through me. One of them is death, the other one's life. See? So I can walk in the Spirit. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, what am I seeing from my perspective? I'm walking with the Lord. You know, I have rest. And my mind is clear. And I'm not talking about walking around. There was a guy walking around my neighborhood a couple of summers ago, and he was holding something in front of his face, and he was talking out loud. So I saw him one day, and I said, "What do you do every day?" He said, "I'm praying." I said, "Out loud and reading?" He said, "Yeah, I'm a Muslim. I got to do this. I'm supposed to do this." Didn't change the guy at all. He was there the next day, still walking around.
Yeah. You know, last week I was saying my old man was dead, and you just read the scripture again about the old man was crucified. So where I get confused is, I know he's not dead. I'm proof of that. but in my mind, when I hear the words that he was crucified, right, I'm thinking he's dead.
Right, he now let's talk about that.
Okay.
Is that my old man being crucified, is that a positional truth or a conditional truth?
Positional.
It's positional. So if my old man was positionally crucified, what happened?
Well, it was separated from him.
That's right. Positionally. He didn't die. You got separated. Okay.
Yeah.
When Ben Emerson's mom left the planet, what happened to her? She got separated.
Yeah.
She left. She went somewhere else. She went home to be with the Lord. Did she die? Well, we would say, yeah, she died. But she didn't cease to function. She just went somewhere else. Did my old man cease to function? Nope. I just got separated from him positionally. And as we go through that verse, I think we're up to verse 4 now, maybe. Of Romans 6, okay? Did that help? I don't know if that explained it. Okay. So.
Well, now the green letters. I was just reading that last night, and it does say something about that we get confused because we think that the old man died.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with that. If, let's say that happened. Let's say that when I was co-crucified with Christ on the cross, my sin nature died. Sin's got to have a source. Right? So what's the source of my sin then? What is it? But if the old nature died, what's the source of my sin? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Here's what the one nature people, and that's what one nature is, they say, well, you have a memory. And you remember those sins, and they can influence you. Oh, and you had a bunch of bad habits. You used to drink a lot of bourbon. You know? I used to cuss at people on the highway. You know? And those are habits that I can't break. No. Sin has a source. Every sin that you committed, where did it come from? What's the source? It's your old man. Your position in Christ has a source. Where is that source? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. Sin just doesn't act by itself. Your sins, the things that you commit, it has a source. So the great thing about Romans 6 is that we already know that the things that we've done in our life, the sins that we've committed, and every single one of them we deserve condemnation for, right? Every single one, we need to go to hell for sure. But the work of Christ on the cross as my substitute paid the penalty for every single sin that I did commit and I will commit. Everybody in this room, sins were future when Christ died, right? Weren't they future? He paid the penalty for the sins of the entire world. Whether you ever come to Christ or not, those sins are paid for. However, he did not crucify and forgive the old man, the source of your sins. He didn't do that. What did he do with that source of your sins? He condemned it. Okay? So, if in the process of my life as a human being, I'm born in union with Adam. Adam has a sin nature. I have a sin nature. I'm in union with that sin nature. Okay? My buddy across the street, just like me. At some point, he never believes the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. And so are his sins paid for?
Yes
they are.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he condemned? Because he's still attached, united to, positioned in the sin nature. The sin nature is condemned, and he's going to go where it goes. If at some point he believes in the person and work of the Lord Jesus, what happens? This is what happens, Romans 6. He gets crucified with Christ, buried and resurrected. He gets separated positionally from the sin nature. So when he leaves the planet, what happens? No sin nature to go with him. No sin nature to go with him. So not only is he forgiven, but he now has a new position. He's positioned in Christ. And so when he leaves the planet, so to be absent from the body is to be where?
Present with the Lord.
I had a call this week from a really neat lady in Florida. And her mother passed away, and she was the caretaker for a long time. She passed away about 4 months ago, and this lady is a really neat lady, and she's grieving, right? So somebody in her church gives her a book by some idiot, and this guy is saying in the book, well, there's a kind of a stop-off place on the way to heaven.
Parking lot.
Yeah, like a parking lot. And you kind of got to go there and get your act together, and then when Christ comes, we'll all end up going to heaven. She said, what do you think? I said, that's ridiculous. That's nonsense. She said, oh, good, I'm glad to hear you say that. You know? I said, that's just absolute fallacy. It's like the Catholics in that whole song and dance about purgatory. Where did that come from? It didn't come out of the Word of God. Because people just have so much trouble accepting the grace of their position. You just do. Because it's so gracious. It's really hard. So what does the Lord do? He's really careful. He takes us step by step through this process. He says to us, look, I recognize your source of sin. And you say back to him, well, I know my sins are forgiven. What about this thing that keeps causing me to sin? Did you take care of that too? He said, yes, I did. Let me explain it to you. And that's what Romans 6:10, 1 through 10 is. It tells you what he did to separate you from that whole realm of sin.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. One other thing is, I think for a lot of people, they'll be reading even somebody like Paul who will say, he'll list all these sins, the horrible sins. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't be fooled. The people who do these things will not inherit eternal life or something mm-hmm. like that.
That's right, they won't. Because they're still attached to the source of that. And if you look at that verse, it says, they that are in the flesh can't please God. Those that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's right, they won't. Because the source hasn't been dealt with. My source has been dealt with. I mean, there's ample evidence that if I, as a believer, with this wonderful position that I enjoy, refuse to live like that, one is you're going to get the child training from the Father. And two is if you don't listen, you're allowed to be gone. And look how gracious that is. You know, I mean, I'm being an idiot as a Christian, and the Lord says, well, you're too controlled by the sin nature, I'm going to take you home, because you're not a good witness for me. Thank you very much. I'm home. I don't get to go to purgatory or hell, or I've done this terrible thing. I get to go home and be with the Lord, no matter what I've done, because of my position. It's all about my position. We're so convinced that our condition is reality. And it may or may not be. My position is reality and never changes. Never.
But that almost sounds like what you were saying is that if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian all your life and then you decide, "Buff, I'm not going to be a Christian anymore," mm-hmm. then that's a free trip to heaven?
Sure it is. Well, let me ask you something. Who decided about your position? Did you decide or did God decide?
Well, I think He guided me. The Holy Spirit guided me.
Now, think about this for a minute. Okay. He guided you to believe in the person and work of Christ to save you. Mm-hmm. Okay? But this whole idea of this position I now enjoy in Christ, who's responsible for that? The Holy Spirit is. He's the one that baptized you into Christ. Isn't he the one that did that? He's the one that identified you with the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. What'd you have to do with that? Nothing. You didn't even know it was happening. You had no idea it was happening. So I decide 20 years after that event, maybe I've never even learned about that event, that I don't want to be a Christian anymore. You know what the problem is? It's too late. I already was baptized, buried, resurrected in Christ. So it shows you that what I think and what I believe does not have anything to do with what God says my position is. It has nothing to do with it. How you feel about it is zero. What your experience is zero. The reality is in my position. So if I don't know what it is, if I don't know what my position is, think about it. That's like a ship without a rudder, floating around, or a rowboat with one oar, going around in a circle. You know? But position is everything for the believer. And so as we, especially in Paul's epistles, as we study those, the first part of every one of Paul's position epistles is what? It's position. And then about halfway through, he says, okay, I've given you the position. Now here's what the life looks like based on this position. Yeah? Okay? He's going to do the same thing in Romans. He's given us a position in 6, position in 7, shows us a Christian life in 8. And then in 12:1, what does he say? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to do what? Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to me. And then he says, which is your reasonable service. People that are positioned in Christ, that's what they do. They don't have to do it to be holy. They do it because they already are holy. See that? That makes sense? Okay. Keep asking questions now. Don't stop. So, the word, I'm going to quickly go back to question 3. What does the word baptism mean? It means to be placed in, never to be taken out. So here we are. I have been placed into Christ, baptized into Christ's death by the Holy Spirit, never, ever, ever to be taken out of Christ. And the question was, at what point in my... I'm sorry. At what point in Christ's timeline was I united to him? You know, there's a timeline. Christ was born, and then here he went to the heavenlies. Then we have, he's 12 years old, starts his ministry, goes on trial, put him on a cross, died, buried, resurrected. Which one of these? Where was I when the Spirit took me and positioned me in Christ? When did he do it? What was going on at the time that I was positioned in Christ? When he died. I didn't go in on the Sermon on the Mount. I didn't go in when we were doing miracles. I didn't go in the Garden of Gethsemane. I went in at the point in which he dies. Why is that so important? What's death mean?
Separation.
And so what do I need to get separated from?
Sin nature.
Sin nature. That's the good starting point. So the Spirit of God gathers me up, puts me in Christ on the cross at the point in which he died. It's over positionally for me now. Positionally. It's totally over because I'm no longer connected to Adam. I'm now connected with Christ when he's dying. So if I'm connected with him and he's dying, what am I doing? I'm dying. I'm separating. Okay? Next verse. This has nothing to do with being cleaned up, cleansed, or anything. When you see the word in, really important word. This means to be placed into a fixed position in time and in relationship. Christ, you will see the term in him, in the beloved, 147 times, something like that. 160 times. Paul uses it 140 times. in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in the Beloved, in Him, etc. That means I was united to Him. And the first union I had with Him is when He died. So when He died, I died. I was crucified with Him. And I love to ask the question, you guys remember that? How was that experience? Feel pretty good? Hurt a lot? You have no idea. It's a positional truth. The only way you know it is that Paul puts it in the Bible, in Romans. The only way you know it. You don't know it otherwise. It's foolishness if you look at it empirically and say, well, I've only been around however many years I've been alive. Christ was crucified 2,000 years ago. What do you mean I was crucified with Him? I have no evidence. Yeah, you do. The Word of God says so. So what's reality? The Word of God or how I feel or think about it? Simple. It's the Word of God. So, I was, in setting forth this great federal fact of being dead with Christ and buried with Him unto sin, unto the world, and Satan now. Notice he says that we were crucified and buried. Why buried? Why would he say you were buried with Christ? I don't remember that either. Why would he say I was buried with Christ? A really important little point here.
Does it mean we were really dead?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. You know the old joke I used to pull on people, say, now listen, if an airplane was flying over Colorado and it crashed right on the border of Utah and Colorado, which side of it would they bury the survivors on? Which side? The survivors don't die.
Oh, that was
bad. So if I'm crucified with Christ and I die, where do I get buried? With Him. It proves that I died. Because you don't bury life, people. Well, you hope you don't. Yeah. You try not to. You only bury those that are dead. So it says that I was buried with Christ. Well, that makes perfect logical sense, doesn't it? That if therefore we were buried with Him, how? Through the baptism unto death. Now, here's the next part. Resurrection. So just as Christ was raised from the dead ones by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So was I raised with Christ too? Or did He leave me in the grave when He came out? What do you think? I was raised with Him. Now, what's interesting about that verse, it says that how was Christ raised?
Think Where about are it. You?
I'm in Romans 6, in verse 5. No, I'm sorry, 4. The second half of 4. Now, let's talk about something here for a minute. And maybe I can do it this way. You know, I say we're kind of right here in the cross. That's where we are right now. So, the Lord Jesus, when He's on that cross, does He deserve to die? So, you know, the Lord, the Father said in the book of Genesis, when He told Adam, "The soul that sins, it will surely die." Did his soul sin? No, didn't. So what happened? Why is He going to die? Because your sins and my sins are going to be put on Him. Identified. The second thing that's going to happen is that your sin nature and my sin nature are also put on Him. So here He's up there all by Himself paying the penalty for the sins of the world, but including us in this death unto sin. The sin nature. Okay? So, as soon as I am united to Christ in His death, that union with Him is never going to change. So, from that point forward, everything that's true of Christ is going to be true of me. Everything. From a positional standpoint. Okay? So he's buried. I go in the grave with him. Now, when he dies, he separates himself from sin, sins and sin. He separates me from sin and sin because I'm united to him. So when he comes up into newness of life, new kind of life, I come up too. What do I have? I got the same life he has. What's his relationship to sin?
Dead to it.
He's dead to it. He has no relationship to sin. What's your real relationship to sin?
We're dead.
We're dead to it too. We say, well, not me. I mean, I'm sinning all the time. I don't care if you're sinning. Your relationship is over.
Positionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's back to that, oh, how I feel about's more important than fact. Now, fact is, I've been separated because he was separated. Is it true of me? Absolutely it's true of me. And you know what else is cool about this? God only deals with me now based on these facts. He never says, oh, let's sit down and have a talk about how you feel. He never says that. He said, I want you to focus on my facts, which are now your facts. Okay. So, to finish up this verse, we were raised to newness of life. The noun there is not life, it's newness. Kainos. It means that I came into an entirely new state of being. I am now never been this kind of human being on the planet before Christ was resurrected. And I'm with him. I got the same life. And what is that life supposed to do? It's supposed to function. Doesn't all life function? You know? Life is always manifesting itself. It's always trying to express itself. So now I have resurrected life in Christ. Wow. Different, right? Okay.
So within those first 10 chapters of Romans 6, it talks about our death, burial, and resurrection. Mm-hmm. Right now, what is that?
That's 10. And when you get to verse 11, because of the 10 verses, the writer will say, now based on these 10 verses, here's what I want you to do. And we'll get to the doing hopefully next week. That was the second buzzer?
Yeah.
That's close. Now, if you didn't understand anything I was saying today, come talk to me. I can make it just as cloudy. Father, how we are so thankful that you did include us in the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, and we certainly would ask anything that we might come into a fuller understanding of the position that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray in his precious name. Amen.